This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation, how are you? I'm incredibly excited about today's podcast. As I've said throughout most of last year, I'm going to be quite selective with the guests on the Audio Experience. Today, I have a young man who I paid very close attention to in my journey into NFT land, so much so that we became friendly, so much so that AJ and I invested in his company, so much so that I feel like, forget about that little transaction in the scheme of my world, this is a gentleman that most of you need to know. There's many reasons. One, I think he'll inspire a lot of you, but two, as many of you have been hearing in very subtle places for me, I'm incredibly bullish on photography NFTs. I, you know, when asked late last year what was going to happen in 2022 in NFT land, my go-to answer was photography was going to pop off. And when I think of that, I think of this gentleman. And so without further ado, I'm going to allow him to introduce himself and maybe do a little 2-3 minute intro on who he is and what he does. And then we'll chop it up here for 20 or so minutes. Justin?
Well, first off, thank you, Gary, for taking the time to speak with me today. I'm happy and grateful to know you and to call you a friend and an investor. And it all happened through art. And I believe, and this is my mantra, that art brings people together and art makes the world a better place. And this is just an extension of that life we live through the art. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Justin Aversano. I'm an artist. I'm a nonprofit co-founder of Save Art Space. We do public art on billboards all over the world. I am the CEO and co-founder of Quantum Art. It's an NFT photography platform showcasing the world's best photographers and bringing them onto the blockchain.
So let's go to the beginning. You know, when I think of photography NFTs, there's a couple of people that come to mind. You at the tippy top. Give us your photography journey as a human, and then give us your photography NFT pivot. You know, like I for myself want to hear it from you. When did you first get into photography, and when and what was that journey? And then when did it pivot into, wait a minute, photography NFT life?
It's funny because NFTs really were recently, and I've been working with the medium of photography basically my entire life. Since the day my mother gave me a Polaroid camera and I would photograph with it, up until the moment where I bought my first digital camera and my first photograph was a portrait of my mother while she was going through cancer. And it was like the most beautiful moment of connection to my mom I had as an artist and like beginning my journey and seeing her eyes and just being close to her and seeing the light illuminate her hair and her being was truly like a pivotal moment to me to be a visual artist through the lens of photography. And from that moment, I went through education at School of Visual Arts, SVA, through the photography BFA program. And at the same time, I studied philosophy. And I believe photography and philosophy have a lot of complementary strengths to it, because you need the concepts, the ideas, the constructs to form your ideas and how you can convey it through art or photography. So for me, those two educations really gave me the resources to think critically and profoundly about how to work in the real world and with subject matter. And so the journey beyond photography at school from 2010 to 2014, I'm only 29 years old, so I'm fresh out of college around 7 years. Then you start your whole life journey, and that becomes another way of schooling. And instead of grades, it's lessons you learn as you grow as a human and an artist outside of school and what you're used to and being a person and making your own decisions and following your heart, really, to create, if you can do it, an industry that we're in now with NFTs. But before that, I started with Save Art Space, a public art nonprofit organization, simply because I saw all the ads coming up in Bushwick where I was living, and I wanted to contribute something to the Bushwick Open Studios more than just a gallery or a studio. We wanted to give something that everyone can enjoy, not just the art world, but everyone who lives and works in the neighborhood. And we chose public art, and we saw that advertisements were coming and covering up murals in the neighborhood. So I thought it was my duty to bring the art back and find a way to put art back over the billboards that took over the art in the first place. And hence Save Art Space was born. And then we continued to do that project in Miami, in Los Angeles, Colorado, London, all over the world, and speaking politically about important issues like Black Lives Matter or trans people are sacred, women's rights, everything that pushes us forward for humanity and consciousness is where we're at, and giving those artists a voice and strength in the public space where advertising takes over. And now it's about community over consumerism. And that's really what I want to push, put out there in the world through public art. And that,
do you think community and consumerism can find a hand in hand? Like, do you think they can kind of meet in some sort of middle?
Well, I think that's what the NFT space is right now. It's not so much we're consumers, but we're collectors. It's like a different adjective that describes who you are. Consumers is like we're meant to consume mindlessly. And I think collectorship, collectorness is more thoughtful and intentional. So I think from Web 2, it's all, you know, consumer products and all that. But I think Web 3 is more community products and actually making people think thoroughly.
Justin, how are you, when I hear you talk on your energy right now, I have a really poignant question. I believe that Web 3, right this second, NFT land, is more greedy and bad version of capitalism than Web 2. That we've been completely gone way overcorrected because there's so much money in it. There's way more money in Web 3 right now than Web 2 had. That Web 2 for a half a decade, set 06 to 11, was able to keep more Justin energy than, let's say, bad capitalistic energy. Like, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I think capitalism in the middle, like art in the middle, like all things in the middle, are very good. And then when you go to the edge, too far to the left, too far to the right, things break. And that's a big observation on the political situation in our country right now. We're getting stretched on the opposite sides where the extremes are bad, but the middle has so much of where everyone sits. I feel like NFT land in one short year went from incredible ideology and a lot of good to, oh, darn it, right, I forgot. There's so much money involved. It came so fast. We're seeing a lot of, I mean, when people talk about communities, 99% of people are day trading NFTs.
Right.
Thoughts?
So the way I see it is, you're absolutely right. There's so many new people in this space that knows that they can harvest as much energy and Ethereum out of the space as possible. But I believe that with the right leadership from yourself and others who we know to really direct people into taking the time to understand what they're investing in, who they're investing in, what the longevity of these projects are, not just a $70 million cash grab, but like slowly who's here for the long run. Why are we rewarding people who enter the space instantly and give them money, all our money, and then leave, and then we never hear from them again? It just doesn't make any sense. And I think it takes for those type of transactions to happen.
Let me say one thing. I apologize for interrupting.
No worries.
The we, I always remind people, doesn't exist. There's just humans, right? Like, of course it's a community, but like Jet fans, we're the we, but we're all different. And I think the thing that's interesting is the reason that happens, the reason somebody can enter right now, launch a project, make a lot of dollars and not see that project through is because of the people on the other side are buying it with the intent to flip it. You know, we're blaming these people who launch projects, but the reason they're able to get away with the bad behavior is because there's bad behavior on the consumer side. VFriends. There are literally 179 VFriends available for sale out of 10,255. Like, that's called diamond hands because people are holding them for a reason. A lot of projects that are minting every day, all 10,000 people or 5,000 people or 3,000 people that represent 10,000 tokens, if that's the number, obviously that's a common number, they don't give a shit about that project. They're just buying it to buy it for $300 and sell it for $700.
Right.
Double bad behavior. No different than the IPO internet craze of 1999, 2000. And that's why I always talk about that era, because the internet was meant to be the biggest thing, as it turned out to be. And so is the consumer blockchain, aka NFTs. The problem is when there's that kind of money thrown around, it does attract a small group of people that I think look the part of you and me, it gets engulfed with people that are incredibly focused on the short-term greed in the beginning. They get smoked out because there's a crash, and then the real birth, the roses from the concrete come, and I like can't wait for that next 5-year window.
Well, I think right now we're just building, and we're so focused on building that we're not, you know, short-term thinking. We're thinking 5-10 years ahead right now and acting on that. I think what we're doing, you know, not even putting attention on the $70 million cash grabs, but more so on how do we provide value to our community? How do we build spaces for collectors in our community? And we're doing it with Quantum IRL spaces. We're trying to bring the offline, we're trying to bring the online offline and bring people together and harmonize and get to know each other and build true community, not just Discords or Telegrams, but or Twitter threads, just actual human interaction. I think Quantum is leading the way to champion that in cities all over the world.
Tell everybody what you're thinking about with Quantum.
Well, first, Quantum is our photo platform. We're also moving into digital art and traditional art, escaping the pigeonhole of just being photography. And
right. Open. And I knew that, and I will still reinforce what I said in the intro. I love that because I think one thing that attracted me to you, and I'm just going to be very like real on this, is I was like, oh, this guy's a real artist, comma, a real entrepreneur. And they've always been my favorites. You know, like when I think back to like Jack Dorsey and Ebb with Twitter, like David Karp at Tumblr for sure. I'm like, oh, these are, I remember that's what I used to think. That's why this was so easy for me when I met you. I'm like, ooh, weird, an artist that's also an entrepreneur. And it's really interesting. I've come to realize a long time ago, and it's shown itself quite a bit with BeFriends, that I was an entrepreneur that had a lot more artist tendencies than people realized. I always thought of me being an entrepreneur as my art. I think it's a tremendous business decision on your part, comma, you are very much one of the true faces of the early days of photography NFTs. So I don't look at that as a negative, but it's really interesting to see how you're building.
Well, it's funny because I've always been an entrepreneur and I've always been an artist. Like we started the nonprofit in 2015 and we started Quantum Art in 2021. And it's ironic because it just naturally flows into that direction. And I think there's an artful execution in the way businesses are formed. And because I'm thinking so creatively in the concept, the idea and the execution, you know, working in a capitalistic age of our 21st century, you know, everything is based on capitalism. So naturally things can form into companies to not just self-serve the artist, but to whole communities. And, you know, right now we're at 24 employees at Quantum Art, just from a simple idea that came out of Twin Flames. So Twin Flames was the portrait project.
Yeah, let's talk about Twin. I mean, Twin Flames is going to be in the history books in photography NFT. Tell everybody about that.
Well, Twin Flames is my portrait series. I started in 2017 in honor of my fraternal twin, in honor of my mother. When I make art, it comes from the place of death to really bring beauty and life to the memory and honor of that person or people. So for me, all my art projects you see, like that span, like really big volumes, is because someone had passed away or because I want to honor someone who is passed. Because being alive, how do we continue the legacy of people who aren't? So for me, it's through the art, through the subject, through the people, because the people are the faces of humanity. So Twin Flames, I traveled the world, photographed 100 sets of twins in Peru, in London, California, New York. And for me, it felt like the alchemist's journey. If you've read the book, The Alchemist, you know, you started with a hole in your heart and then you end and go around the world only to come home and find out the treasure was truly in you and your home the entire time, but you had to go through the journey to find the healing. And I call Twin Flames the healing journey because it led me there, and it led me into NFTs, and it led me into Christie's, and it led me into the canon of art history, showing alongside Robert Mapplethorpe, Ansel Adams.
That must have been insane for you.
It was a moment, you know, I prepared myself for going to art school and seeing everyone wanting to be shooting for Gucci, wanting to shoot for Nike. I wanted to be an artist. I am an artist. I can't see myself outside of being someone that critically thinks in the world and shares ideas through my art form. And for me, I always saw myself as the museum artist, how to educate myself to be in the MoMA or the Met or all these institutions that make you a credible artist. I just couldn't see it any other way. And when I'm committed to a vision, and if you see my art projects, you'll see the endurance put in to be able to achieve finishing these projects, because it's a goal you set for yourself to complete. And then it becomes a whole body of work, which in result connects to people like you. This is how we connected, through Twin Flames.
I mean, through photography. It was just such a beautiful project.
And then, you know, Twin Flames led into the idea of, where is the photography market in NFTs? You know, generative art is killing it. We got PFP projects. You know, photography is starting to warm up through OpenSea and Foundation, but there really is no center point of photography that people can trust, can see credibility in, learn instantly when they see it, that it's cultural. And most importantly, in the NFT space, because it is a capitalistic consumerist space, we have to create liquidity, and we had to create a secondary market. So people like yourself or other investors who are collecting NFTs who want to flip them inevitably need to know that there's a source of liquidity in the market. And if there's no liquidity, why are they going to buy it? Yes, it's beautiful work, and some people do. But I think in the end result, if we want to bring attention and the masses of who's collecting every project to also dip their toe into photography is to create liquidity. And
I'm a big believer that the world is about and both. I have many things behind my shelf right now. I'm not selling this Thundercat. It represents a feeling from when I was a kid, right? Even though I can get $400 for it, even though I bought it for $1 at a garage sale. And there's things that I spent a lot of money for that I'll never sell. I mean, this Jets football helmet, right? But there's collecting and there's flipping. I mean, I think right now the NFT space is in flip mode. I love flipping because I love teaching it for people that need it. For me, as you probably know, and I'm like one of the true holders in this space. I don't sell my NFTs, but you know, over the next decade, there'll be a lot more holding DNA in the space than just trading. But having the option of both, to your point, it, you know, I'm so fascinated by the camps that are either one or the other. Like, they'll always be collectors, they'll always be investors, and both coexist in reality.
It's kind of funny you say that. Like you said, like 10, like 100 people have their V friends listed. You know, we just did some data points this morning, and you know, 50% haven't sold since mint, and 50% do. And at this early stage of this company and this market, you know, 50% of people are diamond handing, the other 50% are flipping.
And I just look right now, 307. There's only 307 V friends listed out of 10,255.
Hey,
that's just insane.
What more can you want?
Yeah, I mean, but it's, you know, it's 20 years of putting wins on the board and me being very loud that I'm looking to build this in perpetuity. And I think that's, you know, I think, and I've had the luxury of being 46 when this all happened. So I have some of my wind behind my sails, and many of the kids right now in their 20s and 30s and teens are about to, they may have, I bet you if I did this 20 years ago, I'd have 9,000 listed on OpenSea, but everybody who sold them would have regretted it because I was going to do what I was going to do the next 20 years.
And that's betting on yourself and being
100%
an entrepreneur and having that energy. Because at the end of the day, it's about your energy and what you're putting into it and what your vision is. Because if you don't have either of those things, then nothing is sustainable.
That is facts. What do you, while we've got a little bit more time, what are you seeing? Two things before we get out of here. What are you seeing in the space that all my listeners should be thinking about in NFTs, photography, okay, or art? And then two, what did we not touch on that you wanted to get across before we get out of here?
Perfect. Definitely number one, to all the listeners, definitely be part of a community. Find a community that aligns with you. Find an artist or two or three and follow their careers. Focus on them. Help them build their careers by, you know, engaging with them, collecting from them, acknowledging them, sharing their posts. Like, those three artists you choose, you could change their life. And if you, I feel like every collector or investor should be focused on one or two or three people that really inspire them and want to be part of their life's journey, because that's what this is. I'm not doing this for fun. I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm 29 years old, 20 years. And I want to continue doing this for the next 60 years. So it's like, as long as you find those artists who are that passionate and committed to their life's journey and their life's work, I don't think you could ever go wrong, because at the end of the day, you'll just have really good friends. And
I love that.
And for part two, I definitely want to touch upon what we're doing with the quantum keys all over the world and how your listeners could be part of that and be part of our cultural NFT hubs that we're building, starting in LA, going to New York, Berlin, London, you name the city, we'll build a space there. We plan on making 50 IRL NFT spaces within the next 2 to 5 years.
Knowing the amount of entrepreneurs that listen to this podcast, what's the best way they can find you on that journey if they're intrigued?
Well, easily you could find me on Twitter, Justin Aversano, or Instagram.
Spell that out, because that's not that easy.
JustinAversano.com or at gmail.com or at quantum.art or just on Twitter and Instagram.
If they go to quantum.art?
You will find our entire platform and a contact page.
Go ahead.
But easiest way to reach me is through Twitter. DM.
But for the people that are like, oh, I'm in Sydney and I want to be heavily involved in one of these 50 spaces. Mm. Do you think it's better to go to quantum.art and hit the contact thing? Careful here, because you're about to get 45 to 700 emails or reach outs. So I'm just trying to think.
I can handle it. Place.
Okay, respect.
Give it to me.
Listen, I wanted this to be an amuse bouche for a lot of you to get accustomed with Justin's career. Take the next 10 hours of research to be your appetizer and take the next 50 years to be your main meal. I think this youngster is up to something significant, and I hope it opened up the minds and thoughts and ideas and inspired a couple of you to attack the opportunity that is the common Web3 modern world. And I appreciate you being on, Justin.
I'm grateful for you, Gary, and grateful that you could have me here. Thank you.